Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great, good day to you, overlooking Diamond Head and Hawaii's South Shore. This is the Golf Club, and it's Saturday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, the last day, the last show of the year. We've got in the clubhouse this morning Nancy Cross, the tournament director of the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. We'll be there next week, Saturday. Jeff Shackelford, continuing to be the writer extraordinaire that he is. He works for, or he writes for, I should say, contributing writer to Golf World and a columnist. You can find him at jeffshackelford.com. Love his writing. Mary Armstrong joining us again. Some interesting news about the LPGA. She's a golf course architect. She also writes a column. Does everybody write a column? I do. You can find it at AroundHawaii.com. Shane Bacon is going to be with us. This sounds like last year. Last show of the year, Jeff and Shane with us. Bill Ranson, staff professional with Bridgestone, and Craig Sasada, director of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Yes, they're all with us on this. What's going to be a sunny day. It's going to be a sunny day. We'll have a few isolated showers, and the winds are coming back. They'll be northeasterly, so you will feel that chill in the air that makes for such good sleeping weather. But first, the sponsors who make the Golf Club possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Join the best of the best at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions at Kapalua, January 6th to the 9th, at the Plantation Course at the Kapalua Resort. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open, January 9th to the 15th. Tickets available at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Starting off the show this morning, Nancy Cross, Hyundai Tournament of Champions, Tournament Director. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And it's hard to believe that in 1 week it's going to be the second day of the tournament because of the change in the schedule, right?
Correct. We're opening the gates on Thursday, January 5th. It's free admission for the Pro-Am, and then the professional competition will be Friday through Monday, yes, a Monday finish, January 6th through the 9th. It's a great day of sports for the sports fan. Come and watch the telecast of the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, and then it'll lead right into the Louisiana-Alabama game, so should be a great day.
Absolutely. It's going to be fantastic. How many people are coming? How many champions are coming?
We have 28 committed players at this time. We have 39 qualified, but at this point, and they have until December 30th to commit, but we've got 28 players. It's become increasingly difficult, for the Europeans to make it on over at this time of the year. So we wish they were attending, but a lot of the European players are not coming out this year. But we've got our defending champion, Jonathan Bird, and Steve Stricker, David Toms, Rory Sabatini, Sean O'Hare. And then we've got a lot of really young, up-and-coming players, Keegan Bradley and Webb Simpson, that both won twice in their first year. We've got the FedEx Cup champion, Bill Haas, and, Nick Watney and Bubba Watson. And so it's going to be really a good competition.
Absolutely. Nick Watney was almost player of the year. The six rookies in the field.
There's a lot of young up-and-comers, and they're in our field, so it's going to be great to see how they play, out here on the plantation course. And again, Jonathan Vegas, I'm excited to see him come out from Venezuela. And, just a lot of players that haven't played here before, Scott Piercy and D.A. Points and Scott Stallings. And so you're going to see a lot of new faces, but they're definitely contenders. So
I know someone said that this is the best field that he's seen here in 10 years.
Well, I think we've had some pretty darn good fields in the past. I have to say, you know, we've had, you know, Erwin Ernie Els and a lot of those great guys. You know, these guys definitely have the talent, and I think we're kind of looking at the next wave. It's really a great day for the whole family because children 18 and under get in free. The ticket prices are lower, you know, $15 a day in advance and $20 at the gate. So a great family, a day of fun. And on Friday, before our first competitive round, we're going to have the Aloha kickoff about 45 minutes prior to the first tee time. So I'm guessing, you know, about 9:15. We have Clifford Naoli, our cultural advisor, doing the Hawaiian blessing. And we actually have performers from the Polynesian Cultural Center, their fantastic new show called Ha, the Breath of Life. They're going to come over and do about a 25-minute performance and really give a great send-off. We call it the Aloha Kickoff, a great opening ceremony for the first event of the PGA Tour season.
That's fantastic. And that is a beautiful, beautiful performance that is going to go from the Polynesian Cultural Center to Maui, open the entire PGA Tour season, and you'll experience that if you're there. That is on Friday, correct? At about 9?
Correct. Friday morning before the first tee time, about 9 o'clock. We have to wait till, you know, they confirm the tee times. But we just urge everybody to come out early. We also want to just remind everybody of our new parking location. Public parking is now at the Hanua Kai Resort, which is at the north end of Kaanapali. We'll have plenty of signs, and we'll have complimentary shuttles to bring everybody out from Thursday through Monday. And the first shuttle will be 15 minutes prior to the gate time. So our gates, Danielle, will open at 7 a.m. on Thursday, 8 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and 7:30 on Monday. Monday, we finish, like you said, early so we can lead into the bowl game. So we urge people to come out early because the winner will probably be crowned. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but about 3 o'clock.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, he'll get the big check. So
yeah, it's huge. What does the winner get?
The winner is going to get $1.12 million. Any of the players do a hole-in-one on 8 or 11, they'll get a beautiful Hyundai car. Hyundai's done a fantastic job of beautiful vehicle displays. They've got them at Kahumanu Shopping Center, Wailea. You know, the cars are just beautiful. So,
is the Equus there?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's one of the cars that the player can win on one of those holes, and the players will all be driving the Equus. So,
I love that car. That's the car that you can do everything in the back seat except drive. Fantastic. Absolutely gorgeous car. I was sitting in it last year thinking, I wish I could just drive this right across the Pacific Ocean back to Oahu, and I'd be a happy camper. Gary Woodland talked to me about his 350-yard drive last week.
He's a great guy. I'm really looking forward to having him out. So.
Thank you, Nancy Cross. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. That will be fantastic, being back in the media center with you and being able to walk the course. I'm looking forward to Kapalua. You got to be there. Thank you so
and
much.
And Danielle, if anyone has any questions, please call us at 808-665-9160, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Great. That's 808-665-9160.
And remember, we're helping our Maui charities, so come out and support the event. Let's keep it here in Hawaii, and let's continue to support our Maui charities. Thanks so much, Danielle.
Thank you. And the PGA Tour, thank you for starting the season here in the Aloha State. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha, this is Dustin Johnson. Don't miss the excitement at the Plantation Course here in Maui during the PGA Tour season opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
On January 5th through 9th in Kapalua, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a champions-only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticket at adults.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. Maybe you'd like to play a round of golf this morning. It's only 48 degrees. Volcano, there's a 942. Makalei has an 844 and a 956. And Kalapahui's going out to play a round. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Makena on Maui, there's an 856 and a 928. Ko'olina on Oahu, there's a 1042, 1136. And at Poipu, Southside Men's Club, the DJ Foursomes and the Gary Mullery Group have fun. 1110, 1140, and 1220. It's always fun. Jeff Shackelford joins us, author, writer, contributing to Golf World and GolfDigest.com. The word that comes to mind when I think of Jeff Shackelford is irreverent. Welcome to the Golf Club Show. Good morning, Jeff.
Thanks for having me once again.
We got to make this like every year. We do the end of the show together, the end of the year show together. With this being the New Year's Eve, why don't we get right into what did you like or dislike about 2011? Start with your likes.
Well, I liked everything about the. I thought the pro game was a great year to watch golf, and the majors were all fun, and we had the President's Cup and all sorts of different things that I think for the most part were very entertaining. And obviously, the part I liked least was just the general malaise that's sort of hanging over the game and the struggles in the golf industry. That's certainly not something that's a lot of fun to talk about, but we do need to talk about it and try and figure out ways to keep the game healthy.
And that's perfect, because we do talk so much about the personalities and the controversies and the events that are going on, and gee, look at what McIlroy is doing with his girlfriend. On the other on the other hand, we've got an entire industry that's struggling.
Yeah. Well, I'm one for, you know, anything that goes on with the pro game, I think is great for golf to get people talking about it. And interested in the game and attached to the game, but we still just the industry is very slow to adapt. You know, I mean, just I can take myself as an example, being a blogger.
Okay.
You know, just on the technology side, golf is, it seems like it's always just a step behind other sports when it comes to adopting social media and things like that. Of course, technology with clubs we love, but in terms of using social media to promote golf courses and promote specials, or when you have a big group of tee times available and sending out a tweet, I mean, the fact that we're just now seeing golf courses do that kind of thing or come up with creative specials to lure people out is disconcerting, to say the least.
No, it is. And you know what's interesting? I started the show many, many years ago, and I started calling around golf courses and asked them when their tee times were available. And they said to me, oh, we can't give that information out. And I felt like they were saying, well, if we tell people that we're not book solid, it'll be a bad mark.
Well, and that's the general mentality that we have in American business now that I just can't fathom. It's this. And if you read my site, you know I always make fun when they start dropping the V word, the value word. And there's this mentality that if we lower green fees, the value of our experience, the value of our property will decline. And I know that, and I'm sure there's a great case to be made for that in a business class somewhere, and a professor can explain that to me. But as common sense tells you, that I'm not going to look down on a golf course if they give me a good deal. Yes, I might wish I could get it every time, but realistically, we know sometimes we're not going to get that great deal. But when you throw us a bone as a customer, we're going to be more loyal. We're gonna treasure you. And you know, usually when I get a good deal on something, I end up spending the same amount of money anyway. I buy another hot dog or a drink and tip the bag guy a little bit more, whatever it is, and you end up giving it back anyway. And so there's just that kind of denial or refusal to kind of cave to some of these real common sense things that you do when things are slow.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something else about social media. This is probably the fourth or fifth week that someone has brought up social media as a tool for golf courses to enhance their businesses. The problem that I see, a lot of guys in a pro shop right now are probably saying, yeah, but who's going to do it? I mean, we're cut to the bare bones right now.
Yeah. And that is a problem. I think those are things that again, other businesses are figuring it out and adapting. It's just why is golf so slow?
Okay, well, we've always thought golf is so slow when it comes to rules and rules changes and evaluating things. But what I liked in your column, and I love going to the fact that you take other people's comments and then put your own twist on them, or give other people credit for coming up with a good idea and then adding a thought to it. I like the way you do that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, jeffshackelford.com.
It's really born out of laziness.
Is it born?
Go on.
Sure. You're lazy. That's why I went to your site and all of a sudden there's a new post. I'm like, oh, I have to clarify that this is what I want to talk about this morning. In your recent column, I think golfdigest.com did something about what are you looking forward to in 2012.
Right.
All right. And you are a contributor to golfdigest.com. And I thought that was... It was interesting because I always thought of you as a maverick, being out there in Maverick World, and then you hooked up with, you know, a great publication and Golf Digest and Golf World. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I decided I'd like to be paid.
Oh!
To join my website. And as you probably noticed, I haven't done a book in a while, and this is sort of become what I like to do, and what I like to think I'm good at is kind of scouring the internet and following up on these things and trying to make it entertaining, and so that's just how that came about. They've been kind of following and watching me for a while, and I've been working for them on the print side for several years, writing things as a freelancer, so it just kind of came about naturally and slowly, but
it works. It works
so good.
Yes. In your recent column, okay, you pulled out a couple of the items from the golfdigest.com 2012 predictions, and they have to do with equipment, and I thought it'd be about time, you know, equipment, we mortals can relate to the equipment issues. E. Michael Johnson's prediction that 2012 may be Armageddon between USGA and the manufacturers on the distance front.
Yeah, I'm not actually in agreement on that. I think obviously in a normal world, you would look at what happened last year where we had another big driving distance increase and kind of the state of the golf world where we've given the manufacturers a chance to say, hey, you know, this is the way you'll grow the game, letting people, you know, hit the latest, greatest thing and hit it further. Well, that really didn't grow the game. So we're kind of at a point where common sense would say, all right, we need to throttle the pros back so that we don't make a lot of these courses irrelevant, but they'll just figure out a way to put it off for another year. But what I did in the post and what you were referencing is I like to take bits and pieces of other things, and the other portion of that prediction list was another one of my colleagues, Mike Staturis, is essentially predicting this belly putter thing is going to come to a head, and that I do think will create issues for the USGA because I think there's a majority of people out there who who don't like the idea that you can kind of jam this putter into your stomach, and it just it doesn't seem right that you can brace it against your body. Whereas the majority of people, I still think, probably don't care about the distance issue. They see what's going on in that. But the belly putter, that's one that really, I think, gets to a certain point where people are not comfortable with that as a stroke. So I see those two issues kind of converging and creating problems for the USGA and the RNA. And ultimately what I think it will they'll kind of do is fuel this desire that the manufacturers have now is essentially have two sets of rules for equipment. Pros and the everyday guy. And the USGA hates that idea.
I don't know why. I do not understand that.
Control.
Oh.
They would, in their minds, they lose control of the game. They believe this one set of rules is the only way to go. Even though they just bifurcated the rules last year with the grooves. We had two different sets of rules for elite players and everyday golfers. But I think it's just control. They just think that we can't give up this. If we give in to this, we'll become irrelevant. But I think they're going to become irrelevant if they don't address these kinds of things that are in their jurisdiction.
Okay, for the distance issue, to me, if I can get it to the green, you know, 90% of the golfers just want to get it into the fairway, right? Whether or not the professional deal with them, to me,
exactly.
You know, make the professionals have their own set of rules, their own thing, and then let us do the best we can.
Exactly. It's such a common sense thing, and I'm of the belief that if we do that, a majority of golfers will still want to play the equipment that the pros play.
Yes.
And a majority of golfers will find out very quickly that even if they get some sort of non-conforming driver that looks like something out of Rodney Dangerfield's bag from Caddyshack, it's not going to let them hit it much longer. It really isn't. And ultimately, the people love, you know, the thing that I loved playing golf not that long ago was that I would be hitting almost the same club as a pro on a par three. There was some sort of connection where you could kind of relate to the game, and I can't relate to the way they play the game now, and maybe that's not an important thing. A lot of people make that case, and that's fine, but I do think ultimately if they split the rules, most people fancy themselves as golfers who play by the rules. They're going to play the same stuff the pros play, and then, you know, if there are people who want to play the thing, the driver that's the size of a watermelon, and they think they hit it longer, let them. If it gets them playing golf, let them do it.
Gets them out on the course, exactly. Now, the question I have to ask is, can they make the belly putter illegal at this point?
I don't think they can. I think the only thing they can do is say you can't brace this against your body. I think if you want to have a putter that's 100 inches long, go ahead and let people do it. You know, I always laugh when they talk about, well, we got to get rid of the 64 and 60 degree wedge. It takes skill to use a wedge that long. It takes skill, I think, to use a long putter. It does not take skill, however, to jam it against your body because it just doesn't feel like a natural stroke. It feels fantastic, by the way, if you've done it. It's really hard to miss putts.
Really?
Inside 10 feet. If you get a putter that's the right length and you know how to stroke it, it's incredible. It's almost like a machine-like feel, but you feel like you're cheating the game somehow. And you see players actually openly say that. I'm going to use it until they take it away from me. It is cheating, but I'm going to use it until then. And when players are saying that,
didn't Ernie Els say that?
He did, and Joe Ogilvy, who's a smart guy, he flat out said it. To me, it's cheating, but I'm going to do it until because the percentages say if you can putt with it, they really do. They really do go up in terms of putts made, and so I think that's the delineation. There's no way the long putter's going away now at this point, but bracing, I think that's going to be on the table at some point.
All right. Interesting. Okay, now, you have books. There are books, and I want to know, of all your books, Lines of Charm, The Future of Golf, Grounds for Golf, The Art of Golf Design, Alistair McKenzie's A Cypress Point Club, The Golden Age of Golf Design, The Good Doctor Returns, it's a novel, Masters of the Links, The Captain, The Riviera Cup, which one should I read to get to know you?
Well, Grounds for Golf is my book that's just sort of a essentially a primer on golf course design, and I try to make it fun and entertaining and sort of show you how to look at a hole and figure out how to play it or figure out how to analyze it. You know, I'm I always love listening to wine snobs pick apart wine, and I always get a kick out of that. And I think, why don't people want to? It's such a small group in golf that wants to do the same thing with golf holes, and I think it's a lot of fun to pick apart great holes or bad holes and whatever it is. And so that's what that book tries to do. And then the future of golf is just kind of tackling a lot of these issues that we've just been talking about, but and some of them have come along since the book has been published, namely the belly putter issue. And again, I try to do that in a fun way, too. You don't want to sit there and read somebody rant and rave and talk about how miserable everything is. And at least you got to laugh at some of this stuff, because it is, some of it is pretty funny. So that's what I try to do with that book.
And, the Future of Golf, How yeah. Golf Lost Its Way and How to Get It Back. I like the title. So what are you expecting for, let's say, is Tiger Woods going to win a major in 2012?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I wouldn't have said that a few months ago, but I got the chance to watch him play at Courtauld and the President's Cup and down in Australia at the Australian Open. And I now think there's a, if he doesn't win one, he's going to be in contention in probably three or maybe even four of them. But I think his game looks a lot better. The way he hits the ball sounds better. The short game has kind of come back, so I think he's going to have a good year. I don't know how many wins it'll translate to, but I think he'll play pretty consistently and play well.
And before we close and take our break, what are you looking for the most in 2012?
That's hard to say. I'm very curious about Rory McIlroy.
Okay.
Following
yes.
my website and kind of
yes.
seeing if he goes to the next level or if all this little drama behind the scenes sets him back. I think that's going to be really interesting.
I thought that same thing this morning when I was prepping for the show. I thought, I wonder if Rory will just say bye. I'm done.
No. But I do think it's going to be interesting. He's more complicated than a lot of the British writers realized, and so it's he's such a talent, and it's going to be fascinating to watch to see how it unfolds.
Jeff Shackelford, jeffshackelford.com. That's where you'll find him. Thanks so much for being on the show this morning.
All right, thank you, Danielle. Good luck with the tournaments up. Coming up in the next week.
Kapalua is going to be a blast, and the
yep.
Sony, yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right,
talk
care.
Soon. Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open, January 9th through 15th. Come kick off the 2012 Tour season with Ernie Els, KJ Choi, Keegan Bradley, and Japan phenom Ryo Ishikawa. Big names, big stakes, big action. Buy tickets to the Sony Open in Hawaii at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Free parking and shuttle at Hunakai and Kahala Community Parks. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And on just a note, he wrote a regular newspaper column, and a wonderful man, Teruo Sugihara, passed away on Wednesday, In his last column, he wrote, "It's too much to bear, and my condition forces me to say I'd rather be dead." He wrote that on November 9th, and he ended it with the word sayonara. On Wednesday, Teruo Sugihara died after a long battle with prostate cancer. He was the dawn of Japan's pro tour. He was 74 when he passed. He was known as the Viper. He was 5'2", but he played with such a tenacity. He won 63 tournaments, including the 1969 Hong Kong Open. At the age of 68 years and 10 months, he became the oldest player ever to make the cut in competition in the top-tier Japanese tour. So he even invested the USPGA record of 67 years and 2 months when that was set by Sam Snead, who died in 2002 at the age of 89. So we say goodbye to another great person, wonderful man. Now let's welcome to the show Mary Armstrong, architect and golf course executive director, I should say, Rio Grande Golf Course Superintendents Association. And coming to us from Las Cruces, New Mexico, welcome to the golf club.
Aloha, Danielle.
Aloha. And I have to say, I understand Sir Bronson is building something over there, and there may even be an LPGA Tour event in Las Cruces if you have your way.
Yes, well, I've been working on this now for probably about 9 months now. The Spaceport America is located just north of Las Cruces. We're right here in the belt of a lot of military missile work, and this is really the birthplace of the American space program. So right now we have a spaceport which has been established. Sir Richard Branson has a company by the name of Virgin Galactic, and we have been getting with him and trying to with his company and trying to get him here as the primary sponsor for the tournament.
Wouldn't that be something?
I think it would be wonderful. Yeah.
Does he embrace the idea, or how far are you on that?
Well, the problem really is that the company, they really only have taken over operation of the spaceport in the last few months. So they really still are trying to get their feet on the ground, trying to get things moving, but one of the things that they're offering is and he's going to get some free advertising here.
Okay, ready?
They do space flights for the public, and at a fee of somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple $100,000.
Yeah, I've got that in my back pocket. Sure.
you could be launched into the into space and return safely. That's part of what Virgin Galactic is about. They're about, many other things too, but he is very interested in space flight. So.
Well, he is, yes. I knew he was launching people. He was selling pre-sale tickets. Pre-event tickets are available for a cool $200,000. You can put a deposit down, though. You don't have to come up with the entire amount.
That's good to know.
Isn't that good to know? Yeah, I think it's $50,000. $50,000 will get you. But for him to do an LPGA event, we need LPGA events. Okay. Question I have to ask, why was Rory McIlroy chosen as Player of the Year by Golf Magazine, leaving out Yanni Sen? Huh?
I'd like to know that myself. I mean, I can't even believe... They must not have really even thought about it. I mean, how can you ignore what she did this year? You know, it's what, 8, what, 12, 12 events worldwide?
Yes, worldwide, yes.
Yeah, and a couple
maybe
of
even
majors.
13. I mean, it could be she was playing after the season more times. I don't understand.
I mean, I don't even think he was the best male player of the year.
Who did you pick as?
I think Luke Donald has to be.
Because
the guy, he was the leading money winner on both tours.
Right, right. So you think they just went with sex appeal?
I guess. He's nice, good looking, I guess.
He's young, he's got curly hair.
Interesting accent.
Yeah. Don't know. You know, I just, it's an interesting question. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You, wait, you brought up in your column, though. I just really had a good time with reading it. You talk about how, you know, okay, this is the weekend of football rules. You know, the Rose Bowl parties are happening at my sister's house or someplace. And so everybody's having a great time, football. You came up with different things, different terminology. Fouls, offside, false start, delay of kickoff, illegal substitution. I can't wait to get to that one. I hadn't even thought about that. I didn't know people did that. That's terrible. What is offside in golf?
In golf, offside, and I'm guilty of this myself. I do this occasionally and feel badly about it, but occasionally, you know, if you get creep a little too far in front of the person who's getting ready to hit their shot, you know, and maybe you might be a little distracting to them.
Oh.
That would be offside.
Okay, and, there goes the yellow. Yeah.
Now, most of the time when I do that, I end up hitting a poor shot, and therefore I have a self-inflicted penalty.
I see. That's very nicely, because you feel so badly about having.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just say something like, "Stop! I've ruined. I've distracted you."
Because that would be a distraction too.
All right. False start. False start. What's a false start? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can think
of
a lot of.
If you did this like too many times, it would be classified as delay of game too, but. You know, if you are able, and my picture that comes to my mind is the way that Tiger Woods can do this. You know, if you can take the club back and then you stop it just at the top of your swing because somebody did something, that would be a false start.
I see. Okay, but that wouldn't be called on you then. That would
You would actually then get a benefit because of what somebody else did. And what I was advocating for was like, 10 yards for half your backswing, 30 yards for full swing.
Okay, thank you. I could use that. Delay of kickoff.
Delay of kickoff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is when you know, the person that their turn to hit on the hit their drive, they're not ready.
Oh.
You know, they're fumbling around with their stupid phone or...
Isn't that irritating?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So you suggest they have to go back to the back of the line?
Yeah, well, you know, if you do ready golf, you could do that might help. You know, most of the time, you know, somebody's going to be ready. But I've seen it go where three out of the four people are hit, and the fourth one is still fumbling over in the cart for something. So,
Should we take him out of the game?
We could do that. It would be a game misconduct, I guess.
Just take him out, make him sit it up.
At least a 2-tee box penalty, I think, is in order for that.
So what is illegal substitution?
An illegal substitution would be if you are using a particular ball for, say, putting, which used to be the real, you know, I'm going to use my old lousy ball for tee to green, and then I'm going to take out the good one for the putting. Well, that would be illegal substitution.
People do that?
Sure. Used to do it when I was a kid all the time.
Well, that's different. You were just learning the rules.
And, of course, back in those days, you actually had cuts in the ball. You remember that?
You mean like when the ball was that damaged?
Yeah, it was that damaged.
Yeah, sure, I remember that. Yeah. It still happens.
Yeah, and so on the putting green, you can cut a ball?
Oh my God. The lava rock that I hit it into can cut a ball.
Okay.
That's how offsides I go. Yes.
I was going to say, my goodness, you have quite a powerful swing.
I wish. All right, illegal substitution. Right. So how do you tell if somebody's guilty?
Well, then you could, of course, if you see a bulge in the pocket.
Aha, that could bulge.
It's either they like you a lot or a...
Mary. All right. Now, you know, we've been... Well, we haven't been, but we've talked about this a bit. Changing the subject entirely.
All right.
Water wars.
I
mean, it is the next 100, 200 years. It's right now, actually. It's the issue. I mean, people have to walk for miles in some countries just to get clean water, and they carry it home, right?
Yeah.
We have it running right out of our tap, and people let it run while they're brushing their teeth. Don't even think about the hundreds of gallons that go down every year.
Exactly.
You're talking about, in your business, of using the recycled water.
Mm-hmm.
But you also talked about how sometimes that doesn't work for golf courses because of some of the stuff that is in the recycled water.
Right.
Can you just... We can't go into a symposium on this.
Yeah,
because we have to take our break, and Shane Bacon is waiting for us at next up.
Okay.
But I'm curious. And then this fabric that cleans itself in the sunshine. We've got to get to that. But first, how can we really efficiently use water on golf courses without getting a bad rap?
Well, I think we do need to be able to use recycling water better. You know, more efficiently, and really, I think in a lot of cases, golf courses are the think for recycled water that developments are looking for. You know, in a lot of cases, they can't get rid of the effluent that gets generated at a development. You know, municipalities don't want to take it on because. The costs associated with that and tax increases and so forth. And so a lot of the larger developments treat the effluent, hopefully they treat it sufficiently to like a level 3 treatment, and then it can be put on the golf course with relatively minor, usually, difficulties. But it can take quite a long time for golf course superintendents to adjust to the chemistry of effluent. I mean, sometimes they have an exceedingly high nitrogen level, which you might think is beneficial, and it can be if it's managed properly. If you know what you're getting and how to handle it. One of the problems that we have here a lot is that we already have an alkaline water condition and an alkaline soil, and. Effluent typically ends up being even more alkaline, having greater salinity, is the way I want to actually put it. Soluble salt, if you will.
That's and better. That makes more sense, right.
Yeah, and that problem is a very big problem here. One of the only ways that we can manage it is by flushing the root zone layer. In other words, putting a gob of water on in order to get the salts flushed through.
So then you ask yourself, are you like defeating the purpose of using the effluent, right?
But it can be, yeah. I mean, it's not the perfect remedy at all right now.
But these are things the Golf Course Superintendent Association, they're working and on this problem all the time, because there is going to be the issue. They want us to go brown, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Get accustomed to, and that's really hard for our resort courses in Hawaii, because everybody comes here expecting to play on a green course.
Sure.
So it's very tough in Hawaii to accomplish that and find the balance.
Well, I think that we're experiencing the same thing here. But the New Mexico State University, for instance, is one of the universities that's doing quite a lot of testing with new species that are more salt tolerant.
Good, good. Now, on this fabric, no more washing the clothes. The Chinese have come up with a fabric that cleans itself when exposed to sun?
Yeah.
No kidding. I mean, really, seriously. You can
I haven't tried it, but...
That's fascinating. Okay. Mary Armstrong, you are always a wealth of information. Push Sir Branson, please, and tell us how we can push him on making that LPGA event come to Las Cruces, okay?
I will put a call into him for me.
Yeah, tell me how to reach him. Just tell me where.
Get him on the program.
Get him on the program.
Yep.
Thanks so much for being on the show.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Join me, Steve Stricker, when the PGA Tour starts the new season at the Winners Only Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
The Hyundai Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at Kapalua's Plantation Course. Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a Champions Only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticket at adults.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. And Shane Bacon, my friend, a writer, he's with Devil Ball Golf at Yahoo.com. But he also has his own site. And you can find him at Dogs That Chase Cars. DogsThatChaseCars.com. It's easy to remember. Shane Bacon, welcome to the show.
How are you?
Excellent, sir. How are you on this? What are you going to do for New Year's Eve?
We're not doing anything too crazy. Just going over to a friend's house and going to hang out. It's not too far from my house, so nobody has to get behind any sort of a wheel.
That's smart. You know,
Absolutely.
If you're going to go to Waikiki, you know, and go to one of the shows, just go to a hotel. You know, book a night or walk home. Take a cab. There's all sorts of alternative ways to get home if you're going to go out. Well, I frankly prefer the staying with friends kind of thing. You can always just sort of curl up in a ball in the side of the living room. I'll be spending the night. Thank you very much. So, we usually hear, you know, we've been talking about the best things that happened and or some of the things we should be concerned about or who won player of the year and what great things happened. But I like what you wrote at your site, DogsThatChaseCars.com. The dumbest, absolutely dumbest things that happened. Now, Tiger Woods, this is one of the things that Shane wrote. Okay. Tiger Woods came out with an iPhone app that costs $10 and is supposed to help you swing better. If you're thinking this is a good idea, might I suggest you use the $10 for a hammer and then hit yourself repeatedly over the head with it. That was priceless. Thank you, Shane.
Well, I mean, I understand that there's a lot of people out there that think that something like that might help their golf game. And I mean, I think that some of our golfing magazines have made a bundle of money over the years with the how to break whatever with the magazine article. But I always find that's always one of my most entertaining things. I'm pretty sure you're not going to change your golf swing by some animated app on your phone, but that's just me.
No, I think you're onto something there. Okay. One of the dumbest things, yes. And didn't they do something about this? Patty Harrington getting DQ'd from the Abu Dhabi Championship?
Yeah. The whole ball moving on the green thing just seemed to really push fans the wrong way. And obviously he was DQ'd earlier in the year, but yeah, I mean, if you place the putter behind the ball and it moves and it's not your fault, it was wind or green, then now it's not going to be a problem. So at least something changed. At least I won't have to worry about putting that on the list next year.
But weren't you surprised at how fast they acted on that? I mean, I was stunned.
Well, especially in golf. I mean, you know golf. Golf moves about as fast as a broken car. But if we can get something changed that quickly in the course of a year, within the year, I think that's pretty exciting. I mean, nothing's going to change the way daily approaches golf, but if we can have some of the rules changed, it sure does make the game a little bit more fun and not as hard and harsh on some of the players.
He sent a tweet out yesterday, but he didn't know what to do with himself. I don't know. He'd done some this and that. What should I do next? I thought, practice patience.
Or putting. I mean, yes, yeah, exactly. Old Daly, I mean, you know, it's going to be sad one of these days when he's not in our golfing lives, because if nothing else, he makes it entertaining.
He does, but you know, I don't understand. He, as you said in your column, you know, he was pleading to play, and then when he gets the opportunity, he completely blows it.
Well, it's amazing to me that he I mean, you know, I feel, and something I've noticed when I have actually hung out with some pro golfers and stuff is that their circle is so tight these days because they're such a product. You know, they're not necessarily a person, but they're a product, and they affect so many people that, you know, you never see any negative stuff. You never hear any negative stuff. Everybody laughs at all your jokes. So it is probably hard for some of these guys that have been having this happen for 20 years to realize that they are kind of screwing up or they are totally missing the point on certain stuff. So I thought it was funny that he starts the year yelling at people for not giving him a chance to play in tournaments, and then when he does get a chance in Australia, he screws it up, and then now they're not going to let him back, you know?
Right.
I mean, you can only cry wolf so many times.
Right, and see, I didn't think he was that encapsulated. I thought that he had a look at reality and would know that, you know, hey, John, you got to get your act together if you really want to play this game. And I guess I'm wrong. You're right, though.
Well, my uncle has a theory that he thinks John's doing the smart thing and just kind of playing his way to the senior tour, because he thinks when he gets on the champion tour, you know, he'll be a draw, just like all these guys are. I mean, Couples been a draw. Hoff been a draw. These guys get there, and they're still complacent golf. I mean, you know, if John Daly's at a champion tour event and it's near your house, you'll probably go watch him play for a day or two because he still gets the ball out there and he's still fun to watch. But yeah, like you said, it is crazy to see how out of touch of reality some of the time these guys are. And I think Daly is a pretty good example of that.
All right. So you think the Champions Tour will have him?
I think so. I mean, they can't not. I mean, he's going to bring people to come watch it. You know, he'll have his watch. I mean, he might win a tournament. You know, if he wins a tournament, I mean, he'll at least get him on SportsCenter. So I mean, these are the benefits that you can have with Daly coming around. He's still probably the third biggest name in golf, which is crazy to think, but still probably true.
You're right. One thing I kind of understand, there's were some religious implications here, but the Tiger Woods spitting on the green thing that everybody got really bent out of shape over, that was made your list of the dumbest things.
Well, yeah, getting upset about a golfer spitting on the green, I mean, this happens every day on every golf course in the entire world by everybody that's ever played. I mean, it wasn't like he was doing it and that he was bad mad at the golf course. It's just something he's probably done when he was mad at himself or whatever. If Tiger actually does get mad at himself, I don't think we'd actually know that or not. But he did that, and it was a big story. It was, I mean, you know, they had video everywhere, and it's just part of golf. You know, that's what I don't understand. I think it's just a lot of people that don't play the game sometimes have too much of a voice, and they can kind of say what they think when it's not necessarily the right thing.
So you said you were looking for pictures, and you could find hundreds of them of people spitting.
Oh, yeah, there was a pretty good collection of guys, but they didn't have them on some of the picture sites because you know they wouldn't publish them or they wouldn't put them out there. So that's kind of funny in and of itself, you know, that they would hide these things.
They're hiding. That, to me, I think they should show them because it's such a disgusting habit. Excuse me, guys. I mean, I just want to put it out there that, you know, it used to be that you didn't spit in public, and I don't know what happened, but in the last 20 years or so, it's become de rigueur. Everybody does it. All the guys do. It's really not nice to look at, you know?
No. Nobody likes to see that.
No, and I think it's subconscious, you know, but get conscious, okay? Because it's really ugly. There's one professional golfer I was following, and I was so excited, and he just turned his face and spit right in my direction about 3 feet. I went, I'll never forget that person will always be indelibly inked in my mind as spitting at me. And it's very... All right, another dumbest thing. You don't think the PGA Tour wives should do a reality show?
Oh, I mean, that story just irked me. I mean, I'm sure people watch it. I mean, I don't know if I'd watch it. I never really watched those shows on the Golf Channel and stuff, just because, you know, I watch enough sports and enough golf. I don't think I need any more reality in my life. But, they came up with the idea, and obviously it didn't have a lot of legs, but... you know, I see the wives pull into these courtesy, with their courtesy cars into the parking areas, and they have their bags pulled from the mall, and I'm like, how interesting can this be to find these people around, you know? I mean, they just live these incredible lives. They probably just make us all mad, you know?
Oh, wait a minute.
You get the jackpot.
Shame. You've missed the whole Kardashian thing, you see?
I know. I obviously haven't tuned in too much.
No, I haven't either, but a lot of people are, and so they probably thought they could raise a lot of money for charity doing something like that. Now, here's another dumbest thing. PGA Tour wants to change Q School.
Well, like, you know, I have friends that have people, I have people that I've played with that have gotten through three stages, you know, and I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, there's opportunity out there for people. I mean, I know guys in Scottsdale and Phoenix that are really, really great golfers. And if they had the right week, they could, or the right month, I guess, they could get through the stages of Q school. I really believe that. And if you kick that out, you know, you're really pushing a whole, you know, population of golfers to have to go through other means to get there. And some might never get there. You know, I mean, I think Q school is a really cool thing because it really does give the everyday man, quote unquote, a chance to play on the PGA Tour. You know, you don't have that in the NFL. You don't have that in baseball. You don't have that in basketball. But with this, you actually could do it theoretically if you went out and played well for three straight tournaments. And, I just don't want them to do away with it. They nationwide guys have a chance to play well for the year and get in their own way. And I'd like to see it stay that way.
Gary Woodland's a perfect example. Right?
Well, you know, I mean, Kevin Streelman is a guy that I used to play when I played mini tour golf in Phoenix. We used to play in some of the same money games together as practice rounds. And, you know, he has a great year on the Gateway Tour, and he goes through and can finish, you know, high in all three. And, you know, now he's on the commercials up in Golf Channel. So, you know, I mean, it is kind of a cool thing, I think. And I would hate to see them get rid of something that I think has been such a good tradition with our game.
Yeah, I do too. I hope they incorporate it into it. The whole getting into the PGA Tour somehow. I think that it should not be gotten done away with. Ricky Fowler. Now, you know, when wearing his hat backwards, wow.
It was an uproar. It's funny because you feel like golf has moved to a certain level sometimes, and these stories come up, and you go, oh, wow, we still are old school. And for him to get yelled at two tournaments for having his hat on backwards, the point he does it is to give his website and stuff exposure. Plus, he turns it around so that the cameras can see his face because his bill's so low that it's really hard to see his face in these interviews. And he turns it around. I mean, you know, he's a kid. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't wear my hat backwards, but I mean, if he wants to, I mean, it's not like it's the end of the world. He's still a pretty good role model, I feel like, for these kids. I mean, if you go to any junior golf event, you see eight kids decked out in Puma, you know.
I agree with you completely, but you would not believe how many older people thought it was an absolute, just an amazing violation of the code of ethics, you know? It was just, I was stunned, but you can't see the guy with the hair, the hat, he disappears.
That's exactly right. Maybe he needs to get a little bit smaller hat.
Yeah. That'll be the day. All right. One final one. What was your favorite dumbest one before I say which one was my favorite dumbest of your dumb ones?
I have to go with Bubba in France. I mean, that whole story just floored me. I mean, I played golf with a guy. I've met the guy. I read this and saw this, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I really hope that his success hasn't changed him to this point, or maybe he was just being the old Boo Weekly. You know, you la-di-da, I don't know anything like Boo was at the British Open. But that was probably my favorite of the year. I was that and the video I put at that golf boy thing.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely amazed that those people did that.
Yeah. I also liked Callaway announcing that Justin Timberlake would be their new creative director of golf.
Timberlake, I've decided Timberlake is just trying to dig any company out of the dirt. He got on with MySpace. He's getting on with Callaway. I'm going to see what else he does. If he gets on with some of these banks that closed down, I'm gonna get really suspicious.
Shane Bacon, you're wonderful. DogsThatChaseCars.com is where you'll find him. He also writes, of course, for Devil Ball Golf. Devil Ball. It is a devil ball, this game of golf. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
Happy New Year. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open, January 9th through 15th. Come kick off the 2012 Tour season with Ernie Els, KJ Choi, Keegan Bradley, and Japan phenom Ryo Ishikawa. Big names, big stakes, big action. Buy tickets to the Sony Open in Hawaii at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Free parking and shuttle at Hunakai and Kahala Community Parks. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
We are KGU, Honolulu, KPUA, Hilo, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, KTOH, FM1, Princeville. Lots of things going on in the world, including a gentleman, like so many, who is really working hard to become a PGA Tour professional. He is a mini tour professional. He's a PGA apprentice. He's a staff professional with Bridgestone. His name is Bill Ranson, and he plans for the Make-A-Wish Foundation to play golf for 24 hours straight. Are you crazy? Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, maybe a little.
What inspired you to decide to go play golf, and where are you going to play golf for 24 hours straight?
You know, it was actually started out as on Twitter. I only had like 85 followers at the time, and I was like, hey, when I hit 1,500, I'll go play golf for 24 hours straight for a charity. Just thinking that I would get some, you know, some more followers.
Right.
So as it started taking off, I started going, wow, this is going to happen. And so I chose Make-A-Wish Foundation because I have kids, and I always thought, you know, where would I go if they wanted to achieve something, you know, that I couldn't give them? Make-A-Wish was the foundation that could do that. That's where it all kind of started from. I'm playing in March.
You reached your goal, your 1,500 followers.
I've surpassed the 1,500 followers, so I'm going to be playing golf 24 hours straight in March. I chose March because, well, it's a little lighter for a little longer, and it's not as cold. But I'm going to be doing it at a local golf course here in Los Angeles.
Which one?
Well, I'm negotiating right now with Rancho Park Golf Course, which is where Arnold Palmer made his famous 13. So,
great. Rancho Park in Los Angeles. And you'll play for 24 hours straight. Now, you know, most people, they take a break. They're allowed 5 minutes out of the hour to do whatever, you know, eat, go to the bathroom, things like that. Do you plan to do something, you know, work something out like that, or are you just going to grind it out?
I'm gonna hold everything until I'm done.
No, I don't think it's healthy. I mean, just want to let you know, okay?
I'm going to take breaks. I'm basically, during the course of the day, I'm just going to be moved through with regular play. So as I finish my 18th hole in one round, I'll just let a general public group tee off, and then I'll just follow right behind them.
Oh, okay.
During the day.
Yes.
At night, I'm going, you know, full bore, eat. I'll have a golf cart when nighttime gets around, because I'm going to have lights rigged on it. So I'll just, in between shots, I'll just, you know, power down some food.
This is going to be interesting. The nighttime's going to, you need a crew, a film crew over there.
Yeah, I'm going to have somebody, I'm going to try to set it up through my website to stream the whole thing.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I'm working on getting that all squared away. So
I'll have a camera on me the entire time.
It's your own little reality show. This is
my own little mini reality show.
Yes,
right?
And you can. It's like doing one of those telethons where they people continue to pledge money. Go Bill for Make a Wish Foundation. Yes,
I think it'll end up being more like, when's he going to keel over?
Well, that's part of the intrigue of those marathon telethons, yes. So we'll watch to see when you do keel over. But in the meantime, of course, we'll pledge money for Make-A-Wish Foundation. How do we do that? You know, I went to your website, and I clicked on where it says that you're going to play for 24 hours, and I went straight to Make-A-Wish. So I can't pledge for you to show how much money you're raising. Tell me how that works.
Well, I'm going to have reestablishing a direct link, so you can actually see there'll be like the little fundraising thermometer there. So you'll be able to make a donation directly to Make-A-Wish Foundation through the established link, which will be up on my the new link will be up on my website as soon as they get that established, so people can make direct donations to Make-A-Wish.
Oh, fun!
And the goal is to raise $24,000, $1,000 for every hour that I'm playing golf.
Oh, that's good. I like that. $24,000, we can always go higher. We can look for the stars.
Go higher. Do anything. It's a great organization, and they do such wonderful things for children that anything I can do to help them, to help a child get a wish is,
it's great.
That's
what I'm doing. Yes. All right. So we have a Make-A-Wish Foundation in Hawaii. There's one everywhere, and they do such great things for children, children who are dying and have something that they'd like to do. You know, talk about a bucket list. I mean, seriously, want to go to Disneyland, and that'll make my life. How can you, if you have an opportunity to give a little person that wish, that's what we can do. And that's what the Make-A-Wish Foundation is all about. And Bill Renson wants to help raise money. And you were straight up about that. You kind of did it to sort of, promote yourself. Which is what you need to do if you want to become a PGA Tour professional. You need people who are sponsoring you. And I like your site. You talk about that upfront and honestly. You also would like to do a documentary. We'll have to talk about that another time. I was looking at, how did you become a staff professional at Bridgestone?
Well, when I was doing the, playing some tournaments, I ran out of golf balls, so I grabbed Bridgestones that were in the pro shop to play, and I won the tournament. So I started playing more Bridgestone golf balls, and the more I started playing them, the more I was like, I'm going to contact them. So I went directly through the sales rep to talk to them and say, hey, how do I get on staff with you guys? I love the golf ball. I've played it well. I want to do more with Bridgestone. And pretty much the ball started rolling, so to speak.
Yeah.
From that point on. So, I'm excited to be part of the Bridgestone family. I'm excited to be part of Whitlam Golf family as well. They make great putters, and Bridgestone actually makes, people got to understand, they make some great golf clubs.
Yeah, Nick Price is instrumental in the design of the Bridgestone products, and they include Fred Couples uses the ball and the irons.
Yeah.
Matt Kuchar uses the ball, the wedges, and the driver. And I didn't know all this. Brent Snedeker uses the ball, the wedges, and the irons. Davis Love uses the irons and the golf ball. Bill Hurley uses the irons, the wedges, and the golf ball. Shigeki Maruyama, Lee Trevino, all I know about is their golf ball use. And I've always thought of Bridgestone as a golf ball producer, not necessarily a golf equipment manufacturer. So what I would like you to help me do, this is your assignment.
Okay.
You have homework, yes. I would like you to find someone to be on the show to talk about their equipment. I was doing a complete series this year, and I'll just drag it on into the next. I was doing the series about the drivers. And so I'm looking forward to having someone from Bridgestone tell me about what's great about their equipment. Will you do that for me?
Yeah, I can do that for you.
That's Good. See, and that'll be like a little feather in your cap. You're creating more awareness for Bridgestone and their products. Yeah, see?
Exactly. There you go. See, I like the way you work.
Yeah, Bill Renson, we're going to follow you. Make sure that you get that 24 hours of golf streaming on your website, okay?
Anyway. Oh, you know I will.
All right. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Aloha, this is Dustin Johnson. Don't miss the excitement at the Plantation Course here in Maui during the PGA Tour season opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
On January 5th through 9th in Kapalua, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a champions-only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticketed adult.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
Welcome to the Golf Club, the clubhouse, and we're just taking a look at a little piece of news that, you know, not much news happens the last 2 weeks of the year in golf, that is. The annual Order of the British Empire awards were handed out. The Open winner, Darren Clarke, he was given the OBE, which is pretty much the officer of the most excellent order of the British Empire. So he's now an officer of the most excellent order of the British Empire. Rory McIlroy won the U.S. Open. He gets the MBE, a lower level there. He's now just a member of the most excellent order of the British Empire. Why Karen Stubbles wasn't given the honor after winning the Women's British Open is an interesting question that's being posed by Golf Jim in his blog. Katrina Matthews, she won one for her win at the British. Allison Nichols, she got one for her win at the U.S. Open. Laura Davies, for her win at the U.S. Open. Every male golfer who has won a major this century's gotten one, that is, in England. But nothing for Karen. Do not understand. She's a very nice lady. Welcome to the show, Craig Sasada. Poipu Bay, where the home of the Grand Slam of Golf was from 1994 to 2006. So good to have you on the show. You're my last guest of my last show of 2011.
Oh, thank you.
It's like being it's like old home week. It's so cool. We had some really exciting stories locally, too. You know, like Eric Dugas. Didn't he play at Poipu where he won? Now he's going on to play in the Sony Open. He had an amazing summer. He had three Aloha Section titles, playing, of course, in the Sony Open in Hawaii come January 12th. He defended his Kona Open Championship. He reached the final stage of Q School, and he won the Pebble Beach National Pro Scratch Championship. The guy had an amazing year. John Oda.
He's a good player.
you were there to see him, weren't you?
Yeah, it was like he was the only one playing here.
Yeah, we talked about that. It was really, really windy.
And it was. They played very well.
Yeah, yeah. And John Oda is another. He's What is it about Moanalua sophomores in the Sony Open? Do you have to become a Moanalua sophomore?
Yeah, that was a good one. He has a huge footsteps to follow behind Fujitad. So.
Yeah, I know, but John Oda is another Moanalua sophomore. He'll be in the Sony Open. He won the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association match play title, came in second in the mixed team. He was second at Manoa Cup, top five at Turtle Bay in the state amateurs. He had a fabulous year, so congratulations.
Yeah, in the state open he played well, yes, correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Played so, very well. Good
and
player.
Lawrence
Chen.
Yeah, good. Really good. So, wanted to talk to you about just things that you enjoyed about 2011 before we get into 2012.
Well, I think basically just seeing Tiger come back a little bit, at least, you know, I like, you know, golf needs Tiger, and it's good that even though he won his so-called own event, but it was good to see him play well, and, you know, it kind of shows signs for next year that he could possibly be a threat again to get to number one, so I think it's good just for the golfing world. So for me, I think that's the biggest one, and, you know, Rory McIlroy in the Masters, that was kind of sad to see, but he came back and, you know, killed it at the U.S. Open. So, kind of good stories there.
You know, the Rory McIlroy story from the Masters to the Open, the U.S. Open, interesting because there was some, he said that during that meltdown at the Masters, where, you know, he's in the, some people said they didn't even know that there were the cottages and the trees.
I didn't know they were there.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, a lot of people didn't know. He's like somewhere that nobody knew existed. At that, he had an epiphany that he wanted to make his own decisions about his own future at that time during the Masters. I don't know that it happened during an epiphany. It's pretty much like, bing, the lights go on and everything comes home to you. But that's when he began the separation from Chubby Chandler, his manager, and moving away, sort of being the captain of his own ship, if you will.
And yeah, he seemed to start to play better, though.
Yes, well, you can understand that, you know, I mean, at some point, when you're that far, and you have people pushing you, and he was, and he pushed himself all the way this year, I think he learned a huge lesson. There's only so much you can do in a year. You can't keep on pushing yourself like that. You've got to take a break. So it's just interesting. It'll be interesting to watch McIlroy and Tiger. You know, when he was doing so well at the Chevron, I thought of you. I did. Craig is happy.
Yeah, definitely. When he won, I felt pretty good. I mean, it's only good for us here, for everyone involved, you know, in the so-called business of golf. Yeah, he only helps it. He's never heard it.
Tell us how we were talking earlier in the show about the business of golf. You know, we know that the professional and the attention that the professionals are getting is very good, but the business of golf is not necessarily as happy.
Yeah, it's not as healthy as it was before the so-called recession. But you know, with Tiger disappearing for a little while, and you know, a lot of good young players coming up to the forefront, like, you know, Luke Donald, Rory McIlroy. You get Jason Day, and they're all vying for the number one spot now that Tiger is so-called vulnerable. But, you know, with Tiger, if he can bring his game back, it'll kind of create a great rivalry with the young kids. And, well, you know, for him, they're young now.
Yeah, right. But, well, he just had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be, what, 35, 36 years old? So he's an old man, I guess, already.
Ancient history.
But, you know, it's only good for the game, because let's see how good these young guys can step up if he is in his game again. You know, if they can take him on. If he can get back to his swagger, he's going to be tough to beat then. If these young guys can take him on, it'll create great television. Guys will watch. They want to come out play.
Does that translate? Does Tiger Woods bring people to play golf?
Well, I think it's kind of a trickle-down effect. He raises the meter for awareness of the game and people watching the game. And so people who never, you know, who kind of taken maybe a sabbatical from the game will want to start coming back to play again. The thing is, you know, a lot of the golfers, we've lost some of even the golfers who played all the time, and because maybe it got too expensive, time, I'm not sure, but, you know, if we can bring back even the golfers that played before, let's say, twice a week, and now they're playing only twice a month, you know, and if we can bring them back, you know, that'll help, and he can only help that out, for sure.
That's good. It's good to hear that from the director of golf of Poipu Bay Golf Course. I mean, the idea that Tiger can, and I believe it, I believe what you're saying, that he brings people who are casual golfers not only to the television and increases the ratings, but then gets them into the game and want to play the game because he's exciting. I don't see that excitement factor, even though I find the Rory McIlroy, Luke Donald, the Dustin Johnson, they're interesting to watch. They're fascinating athletes. They have sort of curious lives. But they don't have the factor that Tiger Woods, just because of his personality. You know, you can win. You can win. But if you don't have the personality, it doesn't translate into popularity. That Q factor. If you don't have that Q factor, then you're not going to draw people into. And I think Tiger does that. And he does it better than he. Although, Ricky Fowler has an interesting following of young adults.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's good for American golf. Yeah, Ricky Fowler, all he needs to do is win one. If he can get his first win next year, that, you know, that only helps us too. You know, obviously, you see young kids now. You know, even in our shop here, they're coming in with their orange and their Puma orange hat.
Who would have thought that orange would catch on, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty neat to see. It's great to see. You know, I mean, it's nice to see these young kids. You know, they can be 8, 9 years old and they're dressed to the hill here.
They copy exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's like a marketing guy. Yes. Now, we were talking about Twitter and Facebook, and golf courses using Twitter and Facebook more to draw the golfer in, maybe offering a special. Does that work in Hawaii?
I think it does to an extent. You know, unfortunately, we're not on that here. But you know, you just need someone dedicated. Each golf course that does it, you would have to have some one person, you know, always on there trying to answer the tweets or Facebook posts. And, you know, I mean, and the thing is to stay consistent, I guess, so you need to trust that one person coming back at it.
It's true. It's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who tweet for a living. They'll take on a number of clients and they'll become their voice, and the problem becomes then is when, if that person leaves, they develop a following, and they'll it's very complicated. But it is a responsibility. If you start it, you have to follow through on it. Although I think it has great value for golf courses, and it would be interesting to see if someone were to do it here, if it would actually catch on. I think it would catch on Facebook faster here than Twitter, because Twitter is still happening in Hawaii. Most people like the idea of posting things.
And I get a hard time texting.
You have a hard time texting? we're gonna work with you, Jay. We're gonna work with you, Craig. It's all right. It's my sister is in the same. My sister's an attorney. You know.
I got no idea what all these acronyms.
Oh, I don't play that game. Oh no. I write out in English. You know, D-E-A-R, dear. You know.
It took me about a week to figure out what C was. You know, C, okay.
See you. Why are you trying? Oh, hey, I've asked that question. You know, what is that? What does that mean? I don't understand. When they tell you, it's like, oh dear, how could I have been so stupid? What was the worst thing in your mind that happened in 2011 in the world of golf?
Well, you know, a lot of things deal with Tiger with me, and with the split, you know, with Stevie and Tiger, and how it came about, and.
That was ugly, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of behind the scenes where a lot of people didn't know what was going on until, boom, it happened.
Yeah.
And it came out to be worse. It was made worse, I guess, by, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that Stevie Williams kind of brought it up in the media.
Yeah.
So that, I think that should be kept in-house between the two and let it bygones be bygones and let it go, so. I don't think, you know, the public should have known about that.
Yeah, airing your dirty laundry is not a night. Yeah, keep it in the closet. Keep it at home. Keep it in the laundry room. Keep it someplace other than out in the middle of... Keep his mouth shut, which he's managing to do now.
That's what a cat is supposed to do, right?
Yeah, I think it's shut up, keep up, and clean up or something like that, right? Isn't that... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So what would you like to see in 2012?
Well, for me, you know, I definitely like to see Tiger win a major.
How about the Masters?
Yeah, I think that's going to be his best chance, you know. And I like to see the young guys come up and all compete hard against him, or against each other for that matter. If they can hold this, you know, for United States would be guys like Nick Watney and Ricky Fowler, of course, Bubba Watson. If these guys can come and play to the top of their games and compete against the guys like Luke Donald and Rory McIlroy and all the majors, especially the majors, if they can stay in pretty tough up there in the top 20 going into the last round or something, that you know, that'll be great.
Did you think that you'd be saying that?
No.
If the U.S. players can compete against the European Tour guys and, you know, and the majors.
It's unfortunate. You know, it's pretty tough right now. You know, the Europeans been dominating the majors lately, so...
Yeah.
They got to come back here.
Yeah. That's why hard, you know, at Kapalua, we were talking with Nancy Cross earlier, and, right. You know, it's hard getting the European. They've just finished the race to Dubai.
Right.
They've just done a whole bunch of pay for play, you know, over in Asia. They're exhausted.
Well, you know, for them, the European Tour doesn't end to what? November?
Oh, no, December, you know,
December,
pretty much, you know.
And then when it ends, it's like a two-week period.
A two-week break, and then they're underway again.
Yeah, they start again. So there's, like, no end of the season. So, yeah, obviously they are tired. But I guess for Nancy and the committee there, I know it's real difficult to get the European players here, unfortunately, because you're missing out on some good players, like, you know, Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, it would be fun. I mean, Schwarzel, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, gee, you'd be seeing some great sticks out there playing, you know.
Yeah, but we're still,
they got a good field.
A great yeah. Field. It's going to be fabulous. Now, how about you know, Eric Dugas? I just was thinking about this. Isn't Kevin Hayashi Eric's teacher?
I'm not sure if they're the teacher. I know he's a good friend of Eric. You know, they play golf together every once in a while. I guess when they on the weekends and stuff. So. If he was a teacher, I think I'd be a good teacher to have.
Yeah, I was just thinking, isn't this like the first year that Kevin Hayashi hasn't played in the Sony Open?
It's probably, you know, we're all starting to get up there in age, but Kevin is still a tough...
He's tough.
He's
no, I know.
A tough dude to play against.
I know, and look at David Ishii.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, he won the senior division at the Turtle Bay...
Going away.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And his score was the same as Dean Wilson, who was second overall. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, look at these guys. They're still so competitive. Well, passing the baton, Kevin Hayashi, to Eric Dugas. And Eric did tell me on the show, I think it was back in September, that he really, really appreciates all what Kevin has done for him. And
yeah, that'd be a good mentor, I guess, you know, to be honest, because, you know, he's been there, he's... You know, he's traveled, so it'd be good, be a good person to take some advice from or ask some advice for.
Now, anything, we've got about 60 seconds before I have to close the show. Any final thoughts on the year, on the, the year to come?
Well, all I'm hoping for is a prosperous new year and good for golf.
And I say yes. I second that emotion. Yes, and let's have that for everybody. And I'm hoping that we have a Hawaii stop on the LPGA Tour. You know, I've heard so much for the past 6 months that there's going to be possibly, maybe... We hope.
Yeah, and one more wish. I hope Michelle Wee wins the major.
I hope she focuses on golf. I hope Lexi is kind of like a push for her. You know, it felt like it might just be.
It may be good. Correct. Yeah. I think the Lexi Thompson would be great for the LPGA.
Yeah, she will be. Yeah. And push Michelle to get back into, you know, working out and getting her game and being focused. Craig Sasada, thank you. Poipu Bay Golf Course, thank you for being
on
the show.
You have a happy new year.
You too. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank all of the folks who make the golf club possible. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Sheet metal. Hey, when you need a new roof,
flashing gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, commercial kitchen. You want it stainless steel and you want it fabricated, they do it all. The Sony Open in Hawaii, the first full field event of the 2012 PGA Tour season. Keegan Bradley, Ernie Els, KJ Choi, Ryo Ishikawa. They'll all be here. It starts on the 10th of January, goes to the 16th, and you can buy your tickets at the First Hawaiian Bank branches across Oahu. Star Protection. For Star Protection, property threat risk assessment, protection for your home, your business, for your concert, your special event, get the Star Team on your property. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by the Emerald Green Mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay and the Hyundai Tournament of Champions at Kapalua will see you next weekend from Maui. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2011.